Hear now the word of the Lord as it comes to us from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 16. Now when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary and the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might come and anoint him. Very early on the morning of the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" But when they looked up, they saw the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go tell his disciples and Peter that he's going before you into Galilee, and there you will see him as he said to you." So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. These additional verses. Now, when he arose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons, and she went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they didn't believe. And after that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country. They went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe. May the Lord, by his Holy Spirit, open our hearts and minds to the understanding of this, his word. It is not surprising that the disciples and others, upon hearing that Jesus had risen, did not believe. Because it runs against our human experience. When a person is dead, they are dead. And none except Lazarus had ever been brought back from the dead. They doubted, and we must not criticize them for doubt. Maybe even at times, doubt creeps into you. But nonetheless, their testimony became completely affirmed. Jesus appeared to two men, and you can read the account of those two men on the road to Emmaus, one of my favorite resurrection passages. In fact, I have in my house a picture painted by a gentleman in Cleveland, Tennessee, when I left a church there, because the people knew how much I loved that story. Into the darkness and despair and sorrow of these disciples came a witness. And at first they did not believe, but Christ never leaves his disciples alone. He came to them, we remember. Matthew and Luke tell us that. John tells us that. Mark tells us that. Jesus never abandoned them. And that is a wonderful thing for you and I to remember. Easter was not only to bring glory to the Lord, and it certainly does, But Easter was to bring hope and joy to your life. As John MacArthur reminds us in his preaching and teaching, the greatest event in all of history was the resurrection of the Lord. Because it puts to an end the power of evil. It puts to end the fear of death. Oh, we may, as Zwingli said, fear the dying process. All of us hope our homegoing is easy. I pray that for all of you and for myself. But nonetheless, we know that because Christ lives, so shall we. Now that, I might add, is a hope and a promise only for those who are in a true faith relationship with Jesus Christ. A lot of people acknowledge him in their head as Lord, but never have put him on the throne of their heart. That is true faith when he sits upon the throne of our life. But if you're one of those people today that has given your life to Christ, that is daily giving your life to Christ, that is constantly hoping and aiming to live a life that is a testimony to him and a glory to him because you've truly received him in faith as your Lord and Savior, this is a happy day. I have talked with many of you as you've shared the time of homegoing for beloved friends and family. Ray and I have often talked about his dad's homegoing. And I've shared with many of you about beloved members of my family who are with the Lord. And praise God, we have the joy in our heart of knowing that they had a true faith. My dear old mother, I was looking at a picture of her this week. Lay dying. But she had a beautiful look upon her face. Everyone in that room saw it. She was over 90 years old and had begun to feel the pains and afflictions that come with old age. And they naturally bore upon her because she was still a human. But as the death angel drew near, there came over her a peace. I've seen that so many times, you know. One of the privileges of being a minister is to be with families in such times as these. And there was almost a radiance about her. And she was holding one of my son's hands. And when she passed, there was an unbelievable peace. My mind goes back to the years of ministry and so many beloved friends and family have gone through that process. I have a somewhat, I don't think it's macabre, but a little bit bizarre hobbies. I enjoy walking through cemeteries. And I enjoy some epitaphs I read and some over which I feel a great sadness. I I know a cemetery where two men are buried, and their testimony about the joy of their life is a picture of a fishing boat and a big bass on the end of a line. I know another where the tombstone is quite graphic in its description of a deer hunter. And those strike me with a sense of tragedy. I don't know if those men knew the Lord or not. But I certainly think that their epitaph does not give testimonies. I think epitaphs are something people ought to choose with care. Because someday those stones will be gone, of course, but as long as they are there, they give a testimony. Did you know that? I have a friend who died in Ohio, and he loved the Lord. He went through a terrible, terrible process of getting to the point where he was relieved, but he'd chosen long ago his testimony. He had on it a quote from the Gospel of John, "I go to prepare a place for you." And this line, "Finally, I am home at last." We are deceived in this world to think that we find our happiness on worldly focuses. And I've instructed you many times to be cautious about loving things of the world. They are so temporary. Life is quickly fleeting for all of us. Did you know that? My mother used to always say, "The older I get, the faster time flies." I thought, "Mama, you know, all you do is sit around the house because you can't get out anymore." But she was right. And as I realized that, the older I get, time fleets. It only seems yesterday that I was a barefooted boy in overalls wading up and down Poe's Creek with my cousins, catching crawfish. Did you all ever do that? Seems only yesterday that I was in school and graduating, and then graduating from college, and then graduating from college again, and then being married and having two little boys and all of those things. It only seems yesterday. And now I realize that in a few years, my life will be over. It could be over today, and that's true for all of us, whether you're young or old. But you study statistics, and you know that as you get older, the end is closer. And you can look at that with fear. You can look at that very concerned. And if you do not really know Jesus, you better be concerned. But oh, for believers, it's different. For believers, we know that death is just the entrance way to true life. And how do we know that? We know that because of what God's almighty power did on that first Easter. So that day is not a day we dread. I've told my sons, I said, "When your old pappy kicks the bucket, don't you be sad. You be glad. Because the Lord will finally have brought him out of his troubles and sins to perfection. Out of sorrows away, they'll all be gone. I'll be in the presence of the Savior. He's going to wipe every tear from my eye over everything I have suffered and worried about, because I will have," as to use the words of Paul, "crossed the finish line." Because of Easter, we do not see the end as the end, but we see it as the beginning. I remember the great words and testimony of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a man who was put to death because of his opposition to Hitler and standing up for the true gospel as they took him to be executed. He knew that's where he was going, and he had a prison mate there, an Englishman, who was overwhelmed with sorrow as they ordered Bonhoeffer to strip naked and come with him. You know, the Nazis humiliated you in every way they could. And the friend began to weep, and Bonhoeffer turned to him and he says, "Do not worry. For me, this is not the end, but it is the beginning." It was for him a happy day. And I promise you, those that believe in Christ and are in a living faith relationship with him, that the day of your passing will be the greatest day in your life up to that point. I never forget the words and expressions of my first wife when she took her last breath. "Honey, I am going to heaven. I am going to see Jesus." In the midst of our grief, the resurrection gives us power. It gives us hope. It creates within us a real sense of joy, not worldly happiness, but joy. Because of what happened on this day over 2,000 years ago. And we behold the resurrection of the Lord, and we behold the hope that is in him. And how can we say anything about this day but, oh, happy day, happy day, because Jesus arose, because Jesus, who promised us that where I am, there you will be also. In my Father's house are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you. Happy day. Happy day. If your name is written on the Lamb's Book of Life, happy day. The joy of Easter. May I say this? The joy of our life is grounded in the resurrection of the Lord. Some years before my first wife died, many years before, she made me promise to preach her funeral. And I promised her that, and I don't care how hard things were, you keep your word. And she chose us her text from the Psalms. "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." And I said, "That's a hard funeral sermon text." And she said, "No, that's actually the best one you can have." And I thought, she says, "Because if you outlive me," which I did, "you will know that the day I die is the happiest day of my life." Oh, I'm sure she would have loved to have seen a lot of things happen, but she says, "That'll be the happiest day of my life. Because when you're preaching that, I'm with Jesus." I go sometimes with my dear sweet wife, Elizabeth, when we go to Mississippi, and they've got a beautiful little cemetery there. Many of her loved ones are buried there. Her mother, her father, her brother, and her beloved first husband. And there's always a sense of longing when you go to those places, I know that. But at the bottom of that is rejoicing. I really miss her brother Ben. He had a sense of humor even drier than mine. He'd been an invalid since his youth. But we used to get in the car, and I always enjoyed riding around with him. He was a very honest man, too. There was a person we went by, and he said, "You know, if that feller was half as smart as he thinks he is, he'd be another Einstein." And I've heard that confirmed about this man. But I'll see Ben again, because he loved the Lord. So you go to those grave sites and places, and you grieve, but not as the world grieves. Now let me tell you, the worldling goes to the gravesite of a worldling. He grieves, and well, he ought to grieve, for he grieves without hope. You know, this faith business is serious business. But for us, I go to the grave of old Granny Sanders and Daisy, my mama, and of my daddy, and of my grandmother, all who love the Lord. And I'm sorry, I miss them. But I don't miss them knowing I shall not see them again. Because I know they have seen that for which their hearts long. They see the Lord Jesus this very day face to face. That's the joy of heaven. It exceeds the joy we shall know when being with loved ones who have gone before us. It is the greatest joy that we can know. Indeed, Resurrection Day is happy day, happy day. It is our hope. Amen.